Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today, and today we're joined by Blake Sipe. Blake, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good. And Blake's here today to share his testimony with us. Blake, you've been around the church for a long time. Tell us about where you're from and how you grew up.
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town called Weir's Cave, about 20 minutes south of here. Went to Fort Defiance and played baseball and basketball there. Ended up getting a Division I baseball scholarship and played at Radford University there for 4 years. Majored in sport management. So yeah, just a small town kid from a small area.
And definitely sports has been a big part of your life. When I think of you, I think of sports.
Yeah.
And we can get into all of that. I just have to say, when you open your mouth and talk, I hear your dad. Sorry.
Really?
You all sound so much alike and look alike. That's a good thing. And when I think of your dad, there's always like a smile on his face, and he's always picking on me. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
So you grew up locally, as I can remember, like you're a little older than my girls, but I've just known Blake all my life. I've known who you are, but I've not really got to sit down and listen to your story. So I'm really excited to do that today. As we were talking before, you mentioned the Holy Spirit working in you, and that's really powerful to sit down and know that God's preparing you to share today.
Yeah.
So can we go back, and what's your first recollections? Do you remember like growing up in the church and hearing about Jesus and how that impacted you as a kid?
Yeah, I've always grown up in the church. You know, my family, my mom's always worked at the church as far as I can remember, like 25, 30 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, I've always felt like I've had a good relationship with God and, you know, grew up listening to Pastor Kerry Willis preach. And, you know, he was really impactful in my life. And just listening to his sermons every Sunday was, like I said, really powerful. And but yeah, I grew up in the church.
Yeah,
I think it's been almost 29 years that your mom's been working here. And I think funny that Pastor Margaret mentioned about sports. One of the first things I remember is, I think it was before we were even in this building, they had the offices over by Burger King that they rented. And you were probably like 3-4 years old. And Dad's like, I've never had a kid that young throw that ball so hard to me.
Yeah, that's what he told me at men's retreat. That's funny.
So talk about always being in the church, your mom working in the church. But at some point, you know, you talk about hearing my dad grow up and hearing him preach. Sometime we talk about, you know, our faith has to become our own. We've got to make that decision on our own. So what are some of the memory, the first time that you maybe felt God speaking to you, like making a decision for yourself?
Yeah, I think when I went off to college and finally went away from my family for the first time, you know, in my life, that was when I had to realize that I had to kind of come into my faith on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I led our team in our team prayer before every game, you know, tried to go to church as some Sundays, as many as I could, because we had practice on Sundays, but that was the first time that I really realized, I'm like, I got to stay in my faith. I'm becoming my own man here. And so, yeah.
We've said before on here, but, you know, God doesn't have grandchildren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're always kids.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's good. We have the foundation of faith we have because our parents took us to church and we heard the word. It got instilled in our heart. I walked away from that for a long time. It was there, but I wasn't engaging in, you know, a relationship with Jesus. And there's a scripture that says that God's word doesn't return void.
Yeah.
And I love that. That when we do come to that place that, man, I want to make this my own, that we've been fortunate to actually know something about the person we're hearing from.
Yeah. And all of us, not everybody is fortunate, but all of us at the table are fortunate to have grown up in a Christian home and have that example. And so talk more about that.
Yeah. I mean, my parents have always been like powerful prayer people. My mom's a very powerful prayer person. My dad calls her the closer. And so she, you know, when we're in life group, she can really get after it for about 10 or 15 minutes and really pray for everybody. So I like that. But yeah, just grew up in a very Christian household. It was very focused on God, and we hardly ever missed a Sunday. Went to church on Sundays, so, you know, it was, that's just the life that I was accustomed to living.
Yeah. So you lived here, you went away to school, you did some pretty cool things here, like, were you a part of the old Apple?
Yeah,
yes.
The old Apple, yeah. Well, after college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was still trying to figure it out, and ended up getting a call from my longtime coach and friend, Mike Bocock, mm-hmm. and he asked me if I wanted to come in and give baseball lessons and kind of work at the shop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I don't have anything else going on. It sounds good. So ended up doing that, building up a good lesson clientele, and did that for 2 years out of college from like 2014 to 2016. And then me and another partner ended up taking over that shop, and I was the owner for 8 years. And that was great. We got into, you know, a ton of camps and clinics, travel teams, lessons. I had a ton of other coaches and instructors working under me to give lessons and help with camps and clinics. And that was really special. It was a great time in my life because I got to really create and just kind of be an entrepreneur, which is what my dream was always to be. I didn't realize until after college, but I'm like, I love the entrepreneur lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I wouldn't say I was as close with the Lord during that process that I should have been.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what was part of my journey and part of my story today is that, you know, it's so important to stay in the light and to stay mm-hmm. with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because if you do go away from him, there's a whole world of darkness out
that's
there
right.
that
I
can
mean, yeah. got cold chills right now.
That yes. can really take you over.
Yeah.
And so, that's part of what I wanted to share today is that it's just so important to stay in the light and stay with Jesus because you never know what's on the other side. But yeah, always been a Christian, but kind of faded away there. I got into, you know, I was smoking weed a lot. I was dipping tobacco. I was just, you know, cussing a lot, you know, being around that environment. I was just not really living that holy life that I really aspired to live.
The long hours, the... You know,
yeah.
wind down at the end of the day,
yeah.
let it all go. And if we don't have God at the forefront or at the top, like our affections need to be ordered with him first. And if they're not, like whatever that thing is, you can insert anything there. Whatever is taking our attention away becomes our God, really.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the darkness and, you know, we think we can step in, and I say this from my story of drugs and alcohol. We think we can step into the darkness, and we can control it, but somewhere it controls, it takes over, and it yeah. controls.
And, it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. And what it was for me, I think the enemy made me paranoid about everything. And I was paranoid in my personal relationships and my, like, with girlfriends that I had, whether I was worried about them cheating on me all the time or whatever. It's just he built this insecurity in me that I never really had before. And I didn't realize that I was probably, you know, I got sick and I went to the hospital for 8 days. And I'll share more about that later. But, you know, before I got sick, I was probably sick for a couple years, 2 or 3 years before I really realized, like, man, this is really getting bad. But like I said, like, he made me so paranoid about everything. I thought everybody was out to get me. And this was a point where I was at, like, the top of the food chain. Like, my business was going good. Like, I was running travel teams. I had 50 players in my travel team organization. We were giving 20 to 30 lessons a week as a team. We were running camps and clinics. You know, my business was on top of everything. And, you know, it's just... there was this void that was missing in my life that I didn't I didn't realize was there.
Yeah, a lot of times we might be able to hide from other people, but we're not hiding from God. Right. And you were talking about the dark side and the enemy. Well, there is an enemy of our soul. You know, God has a perfect plan for us. Well, the enemy's plan is just to distract us from what God wants and to get us off. And that's kind of what I heard you say. And so with all of this going on, was there a light bulb moment? Was there something you mentioned about getting sick and you said you'd share that? I don't know if that was it or not, but what was kind of that light bulb moment that you kind of realized, like, hey, I'm off track or I'm kind of headed in the wrong direction or not where I need to be or where I want to be?
Well, yeah, the enemy brought me down into the trenches so far where all I had left was to cry out for Jesus. You know, so I went to the hospital for 8 days. I ended up going through a very schizophrenic episode to where I was hearing voices in my head that was like a radio in my head. Many different voices, and it was clear as day. It was clear as day, I kid you not. And it was frightening, but at the same time, I was like almost getting used to the voices. And I'm like, what is this? What is this going on in my head? And I kept talking to myself, like, and this was when I was smoking weed and I was on ADHD medicine that I was probably on too much. And so I was on some uppers and downers that really spiraled my brain out of control. But yeah, so I ended up, you know, I ended up going to the hospital, checking in. I called my mom one day. I was like, Mom, I got to go to the hospital. I'm done, man. Like, I need some help. Yeah. And she was like, all right, let's go. And so she took me and, you know, ended up going there for 8 days. And for the first 3 or 4 days I was there, I still heard the voices. The devil was clearly coming after my life. Mm-hmm. I heard him say, like, bow down to me many times. And it was getting to the point where I was like, Jesus, like, you got to get me out of this. I thought I was going to die. Like, I literally thought, I'm like, all right, this is it for me. Like, I think I'm either going to go to heaven or I'm going to get out of this somehow. Like, I'm going to wake up and be out of this or I'm going to die and go to heaven because I ain't going to hell. You know what I'm saying? And so I remember this, I describe it as this cloud, rush of cloud going through me from my chest down to my ankles and back up to my chest. One night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then the next day when I woke up, I kid you not, I felt like hope restored. I felt brand new. I didn't hear any voices. I felt like my mind was reprogrammed to focus on like good things and positive thoughts and hopeful thoughts and everything. And so from there on, like I committed fully. I'm like, Lord, I'll give you everything. And so that was my hospital story. It was very scary. It was crazy. You know, the enemy really tried to take me down. And but the Lord got me through the trenches. And to this day, I would say I have a little bit of PTSD from it because it was so traumatic that I dealt with something like that. But, you know, as long as I stay in the Lord and stay in the light and pray and, you know, do things in the community, like go to men's retreat, go to life group, and just I find joy and contentment in those things And that's really helped me to just stay in the light.
Those types of experiences, well, one, I think people smoke marijuana to chill out and to calm anxiety, but studies show that it will increase your anxiety and it will make things much worse than they were.
Yeah, it definitely creates psychosis. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Especially depending on what else you're on. And, you don't really know where you get that stuff from. It could be laced with whatever. That's exactly right. You never know.
These days, it's crazy. It's a crazy chance that I took years ago, but today it's a whole different ballgame. Some people struggle with addiction. Some people are just healed, and we don't know what the difference is. We don't know why one person is, one person isn't. But it's really when we have those moments like you had where since the washing, it was like a washing that happened, a cloud. But I just sensed that as, wow, God just, he did a number. Like, he knows the plans he has for you, right? And we have a free will. So as long as we're willing to not fully surrender, he can't really get us where he wants us. Yeah. You know, he can't bless us when we are turned away from him. And it's amazing when we turn back to him, how he can transform our mind. You've been talking about how your mind is clear. That it baffles me. I want to have a conversation one day with the Lord, like how you can help us to rethink and retrain and live totally different. I mean, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that. Mm-hmm. But how was that? Like, you have friend groups. Now you've had this washing. You're at a different place. Was that hard in some ways?
Was what hard?
Like, because it makes you into, you have now said, hey, Jesus, I want you more than anything.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that means that your friend groups look different, that you have to stay away from certain. So how was that process for you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say, not a lot changed, but what I was partaking in was completely different. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends who like to drink, like to go out, like to have a good time. And I've always been like that. But I would say, like, God always puts in my ear, like you don't need that. Like, you don't need that. Like, you don't need that dip of snuff. You don't need, you don't need that drink. Like, you don't need to be cussing like that. And he makes my convictions. And even when I do, I do say a cuss word or something, it's like he makes me feel convicted for that. So it's like, oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for my language.
That's right.
And so I've always read, like, that's like a sign of love from God when you feel convicted for those
little. He convinces us.
Yeah.
I've heard some people say the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I love this idea that God convinces us. And we use that a lot in our doctrine, is God convinces us of sin. And it's like,
in a loving way, like, you know, it convicts us, but it's because he loves us.
Right.
And he wants better for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find, and I'm asking questions because there are people listening that are struggling with things you're struggling with. And so this helps when they can hear someone else's story. Did, a lot of times when people are going through things like this, they find themselves very isolated from everyone they love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that your experience?
When I was sick and going through this, the enemy made me feel like I was the only one in the world going through this. And I had lunch with Pastor Kevin. He told me that. He was like, the enemy will literally try to make you feel like you're the only one going through this. And so that was peaceful for me. And like, it was healing for me knowing that I'm not, you know what I mean? Especially when I went to the hospital, because I was in there with a bunch of other people who were going through through similar things. And I'm like, I'm in this insane hospital. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And like, for the first 3 days, my parents would come visit me and we'd laugh when they come here. Like, oh, I can't believe I'm here. You know, but it's like, man, I needed to come and I needed to get some healing. And, You know, shout out to Augusta Medical. They did a great job. They check on you every hour. They check on your vitals every hour. They check on you throughout the night. And they just help reprogram your mind. And my doctor, I'll tell you this, my doctor, when I was telling her my symptoms and everything I was going through, she's like, Blake, that's Satan. She was like, that's Satan. She was like, there's nothing wrong with you being a good young Christian man. And so that was powerful for me.
Thank the Lord
for,
you know, that doctor being placed in your path.
Right.
Because it could have been another doctor.
Yeah.
Right? That wasn't by accident. That was divine.
Yeah. Call that an angel in disguise.
Yeah.
So you're on a new path now.
What has that been like for you, this new path? Like, you know, what are some of that you mentioned about going to life group and doing different things? I'm assuming, but you can add into this, maybe spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. Like, what are things you do to keep your mind focused on the things of the Lord so that the enemy doesn't? Because what you were describing earlier sounded like a spiritual battle to me. You know, we talk about spiritual warfare. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah. And I remember Pastor Carey saying in a men's retreat that the Lord is on the throne in the spiritual warfare room, going to battle for you.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of spiritual warfare for me. It's good and evil. It's really that. But this new journey for me has been very healing. There's a lot of prayer. Just whether there's words said or not, I just close my eyes and just start thinking about the Lord and just always trying to stay connected to Him and making sure that I'm always thinking about Jesus. I'm asking Him for help. You know, I'm really just being honest. It's like you got to take a deep breath and just really be honest with the Lord with where you're at with everything.
Right.
And that's so healing for me, especially at night before I go to bed. You know, it's like you just pray for 15, 20 minutes and you're just talking out loud and it's like just emptying everything from that day, which is, like I said, it's really healing. But yeah, this journey it's a new journey for me. Like I said, I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in a Christian household, but the enemy will still try to take hold of you in one way or another. Yeah. And, you know, the Lord healed me from that. So I want to honor Him as much as I can and, you know, be the best man of God that I can be.
And what I hear you saying is, you know, you've surrendered to Him. You're not relying on your own strength, but you're relying on His strength.
Yeah, definitely. I can't do it alone. I tell Him that almost every day. I'm like, I can't do this alone.
I'm the same way.
You know what I mean?
I mean, we all should.
Like, I need you.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a really powerful scripture in Ephesians 6, and I'm sure you are familiar with it. But I just feel like right now is just a great time to throw in a scripture that has been really powerful in my life, and there's just been some warfare recently, and I even was talking to my daughter, and she's like, Mom, I've even been praying this over, like the kids, which are 2 and 4, we're praying this before we leave the house in the morning. It's from Ephesians 6. It has to do with all of this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And that's all they are, schemes, right? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. we don't fight against flesh and blood, and the enemy would make us believe that the people in front of us, around us, but we don't fight against flesh and blood. And this is a really good visual of the ways that we put on our armor. There's Sunday school, children's Sunday school song, you know, learn about that stuff early in life. But we need it. Like, it is so important that we are covered. There's a scripture also in Zechariah that has always brought me a lot of comfort. Zechariah 2:5 says, "I, the Lord, am a wall of fire around Jerusalem and the glory that shines from within." And that reminds me of a wall of grace. And we've been adopted into God's family, right? We can claim that Old Testament scripture because we've been adopted in. And when I think about somebody being attacked by the enemy, that when we put that wall of grace around us, that wall of protection that the Lord gives us when we're obedient and follow him, that wall of fire, wall of grace, whatever you want to call it, burns away the darts and the arrows of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about standing in the middle of that and knowing that I am standing in the light and the enemy cannot come into the light. The devil and his angels, talks about in 2 Peter, are chained to darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only can they not get to us, but when we speak our truth, and it goes from in here in our brain, and it's in that isolation and the enemy just making us thinking that we're, you know, whatever. When we start getting into community, into life group, into going to men's retreat, all the things, and start talking about this, the enemy loses so much power in our life. So, man, I'm just really encouraged of how the Lord's working in your life and your willingness to sit here today and just be vulnerable and open, because this is going to help people.
Right.
People are listening that need to hear this. Maybe for themselves, but maybe they need hope for someone that they love.
Right. Blake, what else would you like to share that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already in regards to your testimony?
I say in the words of Pastor Carey, God did it again. God did it again. That's all I got.
Yeah, and also we call this program Hope Talks. So what's bringing you the most hope right now in your life? I mean, certainly I've gotten hope from hearing your testimony today, but what's bringing you the most hope in this new life through Christ?
Well, just a lot of good things for me to look forward to. I did just get a new job, then I'll be moving to Chesapeake at the middle of July, and I'll be starting a new journey down there. I got some cool cousins that live in Smithfield that I get to live with and save some rent money. Starting a new journey with that. So I'm just a lot to look forward to, you know what I mean? So that gives me hope. I've been in a place where it's like, well, you're just stuck right now. So I'm grateful to have a path that's kind of paved for me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, the Lord knows. Psalm 139 says that the Lord goes before us every step of the way, and he protects us from the harm of our past.
Yeah.
And he imparts blessing on his children.
Right.
And so we're grateful today that we've had this opportunity to share and to hear your story just all the best on this journey.
Blake, thank you for joining us today on Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
And I'm just going to say a prayer for you in closing. Lord, I just pray for Blake, and I thank you for his testimony and the work that you've done in his life and the work that you're still doing. And I pray for this new job in Chesapeake. I pray that you use this for him to be a witness to those around him, Lord, and continue to help him to feel your presence in his life day by day, moment by moment. And I just ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Blake Sipes' testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.